than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcast, and Spotify. Welcome to Christmas week. It is Christmas Eve as we record today, and luckily the Ravens got a gift from Jacksonville and had a pretty decent game up against the Jags. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, man. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you, man. Eve, it is December 23rd. Here we are. It is Christmas week.
It is Christmas week.
It's Christmas week.
It's been a
Where's
fun
your hat?
You
Where's
have the hat? Hat. You got the Ravens hat going on. Yeah. I got my palm tree behind me.
Come on, man.
You got the
Come
Ravens
on.
Hat. That looks good. That's a classic right there. You've had
it
that for a
while.
It is a
classic.
Yeah. They're hard to find nowadays.
They are. Gotta get yours while you can, right?
Well, I got to start off the show. Oh, yeah, I like that. I got to start off the show by correcting myself from last week's show. I was bringing up Florida weather and Jim Ross and all elite fans in the stands. The game was in Baltimore on Sunday, so I have to correct myself. I was incorrect of where the game was. I texted you before the game started, and I'm like, wait, the Ravens are at home this week? I could have sworn they were in Jacksonville. No, I was completely wrong. They were in Baltimore. But it worked out in their favor. The big news coming out of this game, it was not a rough game like we expected, thankfully. No big injuries coming out of this game. But the big news we have to talk about, Mark Ingram. He was a healthy scratch for this game. He did not play. It was the Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins show like we have all been asking for, and it's the thing we were expecting. But Mark Ingram being sat. Were you surprised about that he didn't even suit up for this game? I mean, I expected him maybe get less plays. I didn't expect him for them to just tell him, look, you're sitting this one out. What were your thoughts when you heard that Mark Ingram was scratched for this game?
I was disappointed just because I've always been in Mark's corner as a fan. Again, last year when we signed him, I was, so excited to see him play on this team. And just like Dez Bryant, Mark Ingram was one of my favorite running backs in the league over the last few years, and we'll get to Dez in a moment, obviously, but speaking of Mark at a healthy scratch, it kind of just shows you where the direction the team is going, the writing on the wall. This is going to be the Dobbins, maybe the Dobbins Edwards show. I mean, it's no secret that they drafted Dobbins for the future. Mark Ingram, obviously, is a journeyman last few years of his career. Maybe it just shows you where they are with Mark. But what I've heard from other teammates, including Dez Bryant, Mark Ingram is basically your teammate's teammate, if that makes sense. So it's, he's not salty, he understands, and he's the cheerleader on the sideline. He's helping these guys. And you see it on the Ravens Wired segments a lot that, Mark Ingram's vocal. And, last year, it's unfortunate that, we're not having the year we had last year this year with the bring your whole energy thing, because he's solely missed. Because you remember last year, he was invigorating, man. He was balling out. He had a great year last year. It especially started, remember, in week one. He was vocal on the sidelines and getting into it. And then, as the season's progressed on, it's been less and less Mark. It's kind of unfortunate, man. To me, it's just flat out shows you where the Ravens had their faith in the running game, and him being a healthy scratch. If that doesn't resonate, I don't know what does.
Now let's wind the clocks back a year. Let's talk about this. Mark Ingram around this time got hurt and missed a good chunk of the season. And then in the postseason, he came back, but he wasn't at 100%. We kind of knew that. is this more of a way to save him for the postseason? Are they preparing for the postseason by wanting to have a healthy Ingram there in January? Or was this really a, look, you haven't had a good season, we're going with the hot hand right now?
Yeah, I think it's more like you just said, going with a hot hand. It's not really saving him for the playoffs. I mean, hey, an extra running back taking in if we were to get there at this point, because obviously there's a big if. Ravens got to do their part and they need some help. We could talk about that a little later, how break it down in the next 2 weeks. But no, I think they're going with right now Dobbins. Obviously, Lamar's thrown in there in the running game, but Dobbins and Gus Edwards there playing the hot hand marks the eye guy out, especially coming off the injury last year. You would think he would fully recover. It wasn't a major injury, right? So I don't know what's up. But with Mark, but it's just unfortunate that he can't be a part of it.
And we had some like good news, bad news situations here as well for the defense. Calais Campbell, former Jag, this was going to be his big revenge game like we were talking about last year. Unfortunately, that calf is still not 100%, and they held him out of that game. So you got a feel for Calais Campbell right now. I mean, you kind of want to play against your old team. This is why you shouldn't have let me go. You kind of have that revenge in your blood there. But unfortunately, Calais did miss this game. So I haven't heard anything about whether or not he will be playing this Sunday or not. But obviously, this calf injury is definitely going to be an issue for the guy.
Oh, absolutely, man. And we hope it just doesn't linger on. We do have two solid games up. What I mean by solid, obviously we know the opponents, Giants, Bengals. We'll certainly, it could bode well in the Ravens' favor to rest him if the Ravens were to play in January. Especially, I wasn't worried. Of course, before the game, not only him but Marcus Peters both were sidelined with injury designations. And immediately everybody was like, oh, we don't have him. I'm like, you know who our opponent is? Relax. Like, if we're going to miss these guys, I'd rather have them against these opponents, even though we know they're must wins. I'd rather sit these guys now and for the chance of there could be a play in January for a wild card spot that we get these guys back fully healthy. So, going away from Mark being healthy scratch, these guys actually having the injuries that they do, I'm okay. The only with them being set, the only thing something that was an unfortunate circumstance was Calais Campbell didn't get to go against his former team in the Jacksonville Jaguars, but Yannick Ngakoue did, and he had a great game, didn't he?
It finally feels like Yannick Ngakoue might actually be getting the Ravens playbook. It seems like he is up to speed because when he got traded here, I wasn't really impressed with the impact he had immediately. Like, it wasn't just like, you know, a snap and then boom, he got everything. He's been working towards it and he's been putting in the work and he looked fantastic this game.
He did, man. And it just shows you why they made the play to trade for him and get him. And again, Eric DaCosta being the master of all things in that department. He traded a different shade of purple, went from the Vikings to the Ravens. And he's back home, Maryland guy, and couldn't be more happy. And he motored all over the field today. Him and Patrick Queen, bringing back my two guys I rave about there. Love it. These guys, not only Yannick Ngakoue, but being the midseason addition, but Patrick Queen, man, first round pick this year, making an impact. He was just a wrecking force with him and Yannick out there. And the defense unit as a whole, remember last episode, kind of bashed him, right? Even though it was a crazy game and a win, the defense, they kind of let us down. They were giving up a lot of yards everywhere, and obviously they gave up a 40-point spot. And, obviously it helps with an opponent like Jacksonville coming in, but as we've seen this past weekend, we'll get to a little later, anything is possible in the NFL. Throw the records out the door. Jacksonville can still be dangerous. You got to take care of your business. And the Ravens defense, I'm not going to be one of those guys that goes, because obviously we've seen what happened this weekend. Obviously the Jets and Bengals, we'll touch on that. I don't take an opponent lately. I hate it when people, and I know there was a certain fan base that was scared about this game. I wasn't. From the get-go, they had the game in check. What I love about the Ravens is it don't matter what the opponent, if it was the Chiefs coming back in here or it is the Jaguars, it was this past Sunday, the defense shored up. They stopped. James Robinson's having a game. He's having a year And a lot of folks feel that he was snubbed this year in the Pro Bowl voting. James Robinson, the Jacksonville Jaguars running back, is a formidable running back in the league. He's been top 10 pretty much in fantasy all year. Yeah, for those who play fantasy football, they clamped him down, stopped the run. Obviously, the passing game for Jacksonville. There was a few blips that we wanted back, especially Marlon Humphrey, uncharacteristically got burnt on a few big plays. You know, kind of like, turn around, Marlon. He wasn't playing the ball, but, you know, he's an all-pro. He's a master of his craft. Who are we to criticize?
And a lot of penalties from Marlon Humphrey this game.
It was uncharacteristically a game that he would like back.
Yeah.
I don't know what was up, but, you know, in the long run, Ravens still won by 26 points. So it really didn't hurt. Obviously, one of the ones that he got beat on in the penalties led to one of their scores. But, you know, things can get cleaned up. It's not like it was a long-term effect.
And you brought up the Pro Bowl. I do want to bring this up. 7 Baltimore Ravens were selected for the Pro Bowl roster this year. We have Calais Campbell, and this is actually his 6th career Pro Bowl selection.
Yep.
Justin Tucker, Morgan Cox, Matthew Judon, Orlando Brown Jr., Marlon Humphrey, and Patrick Ricard. So congratulations to those guys.
Absolutely. Well-deserving. And it shows you the recognition. Again, you know, regardless of records out there, if the players are balling out, they're going to get the recognition deserved. And great kudos to the – now, it's going to be different this year. I don't know if you heard did you hear about what's going on with the Pro Bowl?
No, what's going on?
Apparently, I have to make sure my sources are correct, but make sure I have this right. I pay attention to who gets voted in the Pro Bowl. I don't watch the Pro Bowl, so kind of, you know, forgive me, but I don't really pay attention to it. I pay attention to who got the nods for the starts and reserves, and then see which teams got how many representatives or who got the most, especially with the Ravens. I see who got voted in, but I don't really like pay attention to the game because it really doesn't mean. I mean, I watched a little bit last year because Lamar made it. It was an MVP year, and I kind of wanted to see him play a little bit. He played for a few series, so I recorded the game and kind of like watched him and playing. And when he's got done, I stopped watching. But I think because of COVID, I don't think they're doing the Pro Bowl this year. And I think if we can find it and we'll circle back to it, I think what they're doing is doing a virtual Pro Bowl. I think what they're doing is doing a Madden roster and letting the game be simulated. I don't know what's going on there, but I have to. Yeah, I'm going to look it up while we're on air, Joe. I'm going to look it up during the show.
Like a Madden roster. So are the players playing Madden? Or is it there's just going to be like two video gamers playing these rosters?
I don't know. I got to look it up.
Because
I thought I saw that, and then I'm like, wait a minute. 20.
Like if they're going to have Marlon Humphrey go up against somebody in Madden, I mean on Twitch or something, that actually would be kind of funny to hear the trash talk. I might tune in for that. Because it was kind of cool, like when the pandemic started, they had Ovechkin and Wayne Gretzky play the NHL EA Sports game, and that was actually pretty fun to watch.
Here it is. I found it. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the 2021 Pro Bowl will instead be held as a week-long virtual event. The originally scheduled game was supposed to be at the Raiders' new Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, was supposed to be, but decided to replace the game with an alternative event featuring the Pro Bowl rosters being played on the video game of Madden NFL 21. So it is true. I thought I heard that. Don't know how that's going to happen, like if there's just like the computer simulate the game or if some players are actually going to be playing it, but that's what's going on. So in a weird – crazy year, that's what's going on for the Pro Bowl. So at least the Super Bowl is going to be played in person. We're not simulating the Super Bowl, everybody.
We're keeping the weirdness of 2020 straight into the postseason. So
speaking of weirdness of 2020, I would love to find if this was even a bet before the NFL season started. Do you know there's a Christmas Day game this year? There's no Thursday night football.
Right.
So when they kick off on Friday, that means there would have been an NFL game played every day of the week this year. How about that?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
The NFL is going to look at this and be like, we can make a lot more money if we spread this out through the week.
Yes, don't give me any ideas. But, yeah, that's pretty crazy. Speaking of the abnormalities of 2020 as we close this year out. But, yeah, the Pro Bowl is going to be virtual. But you're right, man. Virtual or not, in reality, you know, kudos to the Ravens. Not only that, but I love the fact that, you know, we know the Steelers are vying for the North. We know the year that the Browns are having. Obviously, they both have better records than the Ravens right now. The Steelers swept us. We swept the Browns, which is crazy to begin with, given the records and their standpoints. But not only that, but I love the fact that the Ravens get 7 Pro Bowlers and the Steelers only get 2.
They get two.
I love it. And they're both on defense. It's T.J. Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Oh, okay. So it's another Watt brother making to the Pro Bowl. So of the 7 that we named here for the Ravens, did you notice that one name was not on that list? And that's the reigning MVP, Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm. It's deservingly so. He had a down year. And with the emergence of Josh Allen, who rightfully got the spot, and obviously Patrick Mahomes in the AFC, I don't blame him. You know, he didn't have a Pro Bowl year. You want the consistency to be there and the accolades and him to get Pro Bowls perennially year in, year out. But he's not on the list, but I personally am not surprised that he's not, because again, and then he missed a couple games this year for COVID. So, he's turned it on as of late. I don't know what happened. Remember, we were talking about this since he came back from COVID, he's been rejuvenated.
Yeah.
He's got 10 total touchdowns, over 70% completion percentage, over 90 quarterback rating. The dude's tearing it up. And the Ravens look like the well-oiled machine that we thought they were going to be. Nothing stopping them at this point. And a lot of, again, I hate it. I know fans hate the national coverage and the love and the media, but like last year, when you're good and you stay good and you want to be great, I mean, you can't have it both ways, everybody. You say you want to be the underdog and under the radar, but then you want the guys to throw 500 yards and 5 touchdowns every Sunday. What do you want? Because with that kind of play – comes the recognition. Like last year, we get it. Everybody was all over us, and rightfully so. We should have won it all. And as of late, a lot of the media members have said, look out, if they can get the help they need, the Ravens are peaking at the right time right now. They've got 3 straight wins, can easily go on route for 2 more. They have a 5-game winning streak to close out the year 11-5. I mean, this team was 6-5 at one point. Now they're 9-5, Brandon. So look out. And the Ravens are getting healthier. Remember, they had everybody got hit with COVID, fully recovered, got back, got Mark Andrews back. They got everybody back, Lamar. And obviously with a few players out now, Clayus Campbell, Marcus Peterson, nursing those injuries. They're not long-term. They'll be back. So this team's looking good, man. December football.
And one player that's back making a statement, got his first touchdown as a Raven this past Sunday. Your boy, Dez Bryant, got to throw up the X in the end zone. What a moment for him. I thought it was hilarious after the play that he never let that ball go. He took that ball with him to the sidelines, and that was he claimed that ball. So I want to hear what was going through your head when you saw that Dez Bryant finally got his first touchdown as a Raven.
Oh, I was throwing up the X with him, man. Finally. How many weeks has it been since he's joined the team and started and brought up to active roster? I've been clamoring for give him the touchdown. I want to see the X thrown up in Baltimore. Just give it to me one time. And I don't care if it's the one and only time this year. Hopefully it's not. And there's many more to come. But Dez Bryant finally got his. And not only that, but everybody covered it. Good Morning Football, NFL Network. Everybody was excited for the guy. I mean, he caught his first touchdown in, 3 years? Over 1,000 days. The first time since 2017 with the Cowboys. So long time coming. For those who don't see the Wired segment, the embrace with Coach Harbaugh, that was a touching moment. He's come a long way. He didn't want to let go of that ball because it means a lot. He's going to give it to his daughter. Remember back when he was interviewed a couple weeks ago, he came back specifically for his daughter. So, Dez Bryant, I'm more excited. And I'm also excited that Lamar graciously extended the play with his legs, man, and rolled out. And again, being accurate on the run, with something to say about Lamar, but looking at the play right when he broke and you seen the play, and obviously he had his hands up. Dez was calling for the ball. He was open, but Lamar couldn't hit him in that window because the pocket collapsed. So Lamar moved out to the left, rolled out, and the adjustment, if you watch the play, man, for a right-handed quarterback to roll out left to readjust, throw the ball on the sideline, Dez Bryant to basically go. The route was up and over. It looked like it was a post route up and over. Then he had to cut back, cut towards the sideline, get the catch. For Lamar to do the readjustment, Dez to come back for the ball and readjust the route. Amazing. Love seeing the X thrown up. For others don't know, I'm doing it right now. Love it. That picture, it is saved forever on my phone. Love to get that signed by Dez. Man, it's amazing. Amazing to see.
I was going to say it's a little bit of a bummer. I mean, like most things are in 2020, but Dez throwing up the X in a purple Ravens jersey. I mean, if he sticks around, or if this was a non-COVID year, I mean, that would be the picture that he signs at autograph signings, from here on out.
The one and only.
So, well, hopefully you'll be able to get that one day. I don't know. We'll see. What else should we cover from this game? Is there anything else, any other players you want to spotlight?
The fact that Lamar was winging the ball around the field. He looked great. He looked great running it. He looked great passing it. Very polished. I know he could have, and everybody wants him to have that interception back. But if you look at it, the interception led to 2 points for the Ravens, oddly enough, because.
How do we not talk about that? We got to talk about that. Set the whole statement for the game. That safety.
It did.
Yeah.
Changed momentum. I mean, not to say the Jacksonville Jaguars had momentum, but Lamar underthrown the pass. He was trying to think, if I remember correctly, was trying to hit Hollywood on the route, right? If my memory is correct. And he was double covered, underthrew the route. If he'd have let him, it could have been a possible touchdown there. Looking for the big play, got greedy, underthrew the ball. It was a poor play on Lamar's part. But Jacksonville, instead of getting the touchback, got it on the 1 yard line because he tried to bring it. Remember, he tried to bring it out. So they got greedy. And then two plays later was the safety, 2 points for the Ravens. The Ravens get the ball, go back down, score 7. It's 9-0 Ravens. Then they score another touchdown, 16. And then it's a field goal, 19. Another touchdown, 26. The touchdown with Dez gave him the 26-0 lead. At that point, it was on. You're right. It sparked the tone for the rest of the game. Ravens got the safety. They finally got to the quarterback as far as sacking is concerned and putting pressure on. You're right. It's probably the only one bright spot that you would see an interception be in the favor of the team. But Lamar's interception, you could say, like you alluded to, set the tune. I kind of, how the game went and how his 4 total touchdowns and the 29, in our league at least, 29 standard fantasy points, proved to be big. I mean, he showed up big. He's playing back in his MVP form and had command of the offense. What I loved about breaking down the play is the touchdown to Miles Boykin. He wanted Brown or Andrews, if the memory serves correct, on the play. He wanted them coming crossing to the left. There was a double team there. Miles Boykin broke out in the middle of the field. Lamar threw it pinpoint pass to the back of the end zone to Miles Boykin. So, and then Lamar had a great touchdown run late in the game to seal the game. So, overall, Lamar was polished in this game, apart from the slight blemish of the interception, but we know turning the points and turning momentum around. So we can kind of certainly sweep that under the rug as a one anomaly off. So, the running game got still back to form. They're running the football efficiently. The Ravens pretty much dominated. I mean, obviously, at one point they were up 40-7. With that, I mean, they ultimately won by 26. Jacksonville scored a late touchdown, which really didn't prove to be much. But the Ravens just, again, dominated start to finish, did what you do to these type of opponents, put them away early, pile on the points, and then move on the next week. They got out pretty much unscathed. Obviously, we know they rested the players that they needed to. In this game, we didn't have any glaring issues. There has been no COVID impacts as of this week. So the Ravens are looking to close out their season at home, and I say quote unquote because there's no fans. So really, the home and away only affects with the travel. But excuse me, the Ravens close out their season at M&T Bank Stadium this weekend against the New York Giants. So if the Ravens were to get in the playoffs, remains to be seen. They might be the last seed, so they probably wouldn't ever play another home game until the opening of 2021 season. So this is our last chance to see them inside M&T Bank Stadium on TV this year. You know, it's crazy. You know, here we are, week 16 in the NFL. The NFL pulled it off.
Yeah, and so the Ravens are going to be up against the New York Giants. Now, the Giants not having the greatest season. However, this is still a very dangerous team. This is not going to be an easy game. They really could. They could come and surprise the Ravens a little bit. Their pass defense, or I'm sorry, their running defense is I believe, ranked fourth in the NFL. So it is going to be pretty hard for the Ravens to run against this team. And we've seen that be very successful the last couple weeks. So what are some of the challenges you think are going to be here for this New York Giants Ravens game?
Well, the challenges, you know, to me are to continue the consistency over the last three games. You know, even though the Giants do have somewhat of a good, you know, the sub 500, they're challenging for a division in a week, NFC East. So, you know, it's going to be still not calling it a trap game, but it's going to be one of those games that still it's the Giants. You know, they played the Browns recently and they had their backup Colt McCoy in because Daniel Jones is still nursing an injury and needs to be seeing his designation for the game. Still monitoring that. Yeah, but the Browns, even though they only scored 20 points last Sunday night against the same team, the Giants don't have the offensive firepower to keep up with what the Ravens can output. The Ravens duplicate the exact same game what they did against Jacksonville. They're going to win this game 40-10 or whatever because the Giants had the ball in the red zone three consecutive trips against the Browns, only came away with 3 points. They went for it on fourth down twice, didn't get it. They were that close. So obviously, you know, they have the potential to move the ball and get down there. They got playmakers, Brandon, so we're not discounting that. Their running game is their weakest spot. They're supposed to get back to Devontae Freeman this weekend. Say supposed to. They have Wayne Gallman, who's not really getting the job done. Obviously, we know they had Saquon Barkley go down earlier this year. That was the first domino of the fall for their bad season. And they got Evan Engram, one of the Florida Mobile tight ends in the league. Sterling Shepard out there, another solid receiver for them. So they got playmakers that can get the job done. But with Colt McCoy leading the offense, I don't think it's enough. Even if Dan Jones comes back and plays, I still think the Ravens can easily take this game down. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But the way the Giants played against these same Browns, who we've swept this year and had the game of the year against, you know, again, I know it's trading opponents. And if you plug us in there, it's a very simple, man. Ravens just got to duplicate and do what comes naturally and let the game come to them and really just take care of business. I see this being another easy win, just like it was on Sunday. I'm calling it 35-10. It's going to be not even close. Wow. Another one. I mean, the Ravens, again, are just going to take care of business, get their fourth straight win, get their 10th win. They put them in double digits and eye up the season finale in Cincinnati on next Sunday in the new year. So it'll be the last Ravens game of 2020 as it is Christmas weekend. So it's going to be awesome, man, closing it out on the home side style. But I think the Ravens, again, you know, didn't make you get me wrong. There has been some craziness in the NFL this year. This past Sunday, it was ridiculous. You know, there was two games, and we'll certainly talk about the end of the show and the makeup of the playoff picture as it stands, because it's ever changing. And I've never seen the playoff race as heated as this has been in 2020. So there's been some exciting football. It's something to look forward to here in the next couple weeks.
Now, this is something I didn't realize, but defensive coordinator Wink Martindale, he is actually in consideration for the Giants head coach position.
Yep.
So this is going to be a very interesting Sunday, because we have a guy who, of course, he's all in for the Ravens this season. However, he could be the head coach of the Giants next year. So, I mean, I don't want to lose Wink Martindale. I think he's done a pretty great job with the defense. But this is the guy that potentially could be the next head coach of the Giants. That's got to be an awkward situation on Sunday.
Yeah, man, it could be an awkward position, because if you know you're playing an opponent that one of your coaches can go to, certainly creates that kind of weird atmosphere. But for the moment, I think Martindale's a polished professional enough to know that, you know, his job remains here with the Ravens right now. His job is to coach this defense and to create a scheme against the Giants. His job is not to try to look good for the Giants in this. This isn't the job interview. He's simply playing a game against them, being a coordinator. it is one of those talking points, as you brought up. It's kind of weird because it's kind of like, you know, he's in consideration for the job, hasn't really been lined up for an interview yet. Yet he's got to coach his guys up to play against them on Sunday. So it's happened before, so some coaches in the league, but I don't think it would be a non-issue. I think he's a professional enough to separate that.
Now, you said that you're expecting what? What was your scores? It was what, 37?
35 to 10.
35 to 10. I think it is going to be a little bit closer. I'm thinking maybe something like, let's say, 24 to 14, potentially. Okay. But I do see the Ravens coming out with a win. But we'll see.
Not giving the Ravens some credit, huh?
I think they can do it. However, I think that the Giants will be trying to put on a show. We've kind of seen in the last couple weeks that this is not an easy team. They're rebuilding right now. However, they can have some, you know, sparks of brilliance in there. So I think the Ravens can get it done, but the Giants aren't going to make it easy for them. But the Ravens definitely have a lot to play for right now. Like you said, they need to win out and they need some help. So if the Ravens want to play in the postseason, they need this win. This is a must win, but they also need some help from some other teams around the league.
Absolutely. And speaking of that help, I'm going to bring something up, Drew Forrester, you know, follower of mine on Twitter. You know, everybody knows him. He's a radio personality here in Baltimore area. He mentioned something I want to bring up, you know, speaking of that, we need help. The Ravens obviously have two very winnable games in ahead of them, Giants and the Bengals. You know, we'll get to the Bengals in a second to close out. But just call it what it is. They're winnable games.
Yeah.
You know, we don't play playoff caliber teams the rest of the way until we get there, if we get there. The Ravens need help. They need one loss from three teams. The Dolphins, the Colts, or the Browns. That is six games over 2 weeks. Like Drew Forrester brought up, and it's a great point I want to allude here. Those teams are not going 6-0. It's just not possible. Someone's got to lose a game. You know, the Raiders, and we're going to get a first crack at it because the Raiders and the Dolphins play on Saturday night, the day after Christmas. There's a NFL triple header. So there's football for 4 days this weekend. You know, Friday got the Christmas Day game. You got three games on Saturday, the whole slate of games on Sunday, all the way through Sunday night. Monday night closes out Bills Patriots for the season finale on Monday Night Football. Obviously we probably know, some of these, how they're going to play out. But look, there was the Steelers play the Colts, you know, and if you're in that kind of thing, like, oh, do I have to root for Steelers? Well, possibly, yeah, because the Steelers play the Browns week 17. So the Steelers, for as much as we want to laugh at them for what happened this week, they got to win one of those two games. And they have to, because if they were to lose one of those games and the Browns went out, the Browns, in a 2020 year, but talk about it being weird, the Browns could be AFC North champions. How about that?
Oh my God.
Because of, and let's call it for what it is. We all know the Bengals took it to the Steelers on Monday night. No one saw that coming. It was a 17-0 lead for Cincinnati at halftime. They punched them in the mouth. Steelers are anemic, dude. I mean, right now, if you look at the way the Ravens are playing, the Steelers are playing, I'm sorry. It just sucks that the Ravens are 9-5 and Steelers 11-3, because the Ravens are bowling out and the Steelers look like they don't even want to be there. Like, I mean, they're falling apart. They don't have a running game, which is vital. They have issues. And for them, again, we get it. They lost to a Washington team, right? And we're called, oh, okay, it's a Washington football team. But yeah, they're sub 500, but the Washington football team is vying for a division crown. Like, they're right up there. They're the Washington football team. We beat them, but they're no slouch. They had some marquee wins. Then we get to the Steelers. They lost to the Bills. They got blended. Bills, call it for what it is. They're one of the teams to beat in the AFC. They had their first division title in 25 years. They're 11-3. Josh Allen's balling. He's making a case for an MVP himself this year, which is going to be awesome if that happens, because that would be the second quarterback in consecutive years to be MVP of that 2018 draft class. So, you know, and you have Baker playing solid this year and taking his team to 10 wins and a 10-4 record. They're just not going to lose. I mean, and getting back to the Dolphins play the Raiders on Saturday night. So right away, before the Ravens line up to play on Sunday, if the Raiders were to Christmas gift all the Ravens Nation a present and somehow beat the Dolphins on Saturday night, Ravens and everybody can wake up Sunday morning going, okay, all we got to do is win out and we're in, because that's that simple. So it could be easy as that. Or you play your games. The Colts got to keep playing because their division's not locked up. They're locking horns with the Titans right now. And it's just, it's going to be good football down the stretch. Again, if the Colts were to win, the Browns play the Jets on Sunday. And again, it's fitting. And it's kind of funny because you don't want to write that game off like, oh, well, the Browns are going to probably win out because they got the Jets and they could easily beat the Steelers the way they're playing. They could win out and the Steelers lose to the Colts. The Browns are division champs. And then it's crazy. It's madness. And you can hear by the way I'm talking, because it's like there's so much going on in this NFL playoff races. The AFC, these teams can move seeds up and down in the next 2 weeks. It's not clear. Right now, the only thing that's clear is the Chiefs look like they're marching their way to the number one overall seed. In this new playoff format and running away with it, rightfully so. They play the Falcons on Sunday. It could easily happen, man. And with the Jets taking down the Rams, that was a crazy game to beat and start the dominance of fall. So then you look at it, it's like, can the Jets beat the Browns? I mean, yeah, the Jets are the Jets, but, bro, there's no more, you know, the Jets ain't going, you know, winless now. With the Bengals winning in the same weekend the Jets beat the Rams, you know, again, it's the NFL. This is why you can't predict the games most – you can most of the time, but there are paid professionals. It's why I said it's so hard that, yeah, you can sit here and write off – that's why, I mean, again, we're – and I know on the show we're talking the Ravens are going to easily win their next two games. They're winnable games. We're not – I mean, they could easily lose on Sunday and they can lose to the Bengals. I mean, we don't know. We've seen crazy things. I mean, the Ravens already lost to the game that I went back is they already lost to the Patriots on Sunday Night Football, and the Patriots are eliminated from the playoffs. Right. So you can already say there the Ravens' worst loss is the Patriots game because of the opponent it is, and that's the one I went back. But the wins are so important. The playoff race is far from decided. I mean, Pittsburgh went from 2 seed to 3 seed, and if they're not careful, they can really drop all the way to 4. There's a lot to be sorted out here, so – the Ravens need help, yes, but it's very simple. They just need one team to lose any one of those 6 games. They don't need one specific team. Like, I don't know what these fans were stuck on, like Pittsburgh, like, oh, we want Pittsburgh to win, or they don't want them to lose to the Bengals. I'm like, you know, we don't care about Pittsburgh. We do care. We don't care if they win or lose. We care that they can lose to the Colts and or the Browns. The Steelers have the toughest road left, and if we need the Colts and or the Browns to lose one, I get what fans are saying. The way the Steelers are playing, we don't want to put our hopes on those two games, and you almost want to throw those two out and you only go to the final 4 games that the Ravens need to lose, because the Steelers are playing so bad. It's like, well, the Colts are going to win, and if the Colts beat the Steelers, the Browns beat the Jets, the Browns are going to play for AFC North title on Sunday, because they guarantee that game gets flexed to Sunday night on the final game of the, or final Sunday of the regular season. The Steelers and Browns are going to play for the AFC North crown. So all eyes are going to be on that game. And I would hate it if it came down to that game for the Ravens to have to get in the playoffs, because then you're basically rooting for the Steelers to win the North so the Ravens can get in the playoffs. So take a breath. It's going to be okay, but it is crazy. So Ravens, again, just take care of your business and let's worry about what happens. I mean, but you're right. They do need some help in a crazy year, and it would be insane that the Ravens at 11-5 would win out, win their last 5 games in a row, and then miss the playoffs. But then it would be the same thing that we stuck to the Patriots in 2008 when the Ravens went to the AFC North Championship against Pittsburgh and Joe Flacco and Harbaugh's rookie year here. The Ravens were 11-5, but because they held the tiebreaker for the Patriots, who were also 11-5, the 11-5 New England Patriots, who were even crazier with Brady getting hurt that first game of the year, tearing his knee, and Matt Castle leading to an 11-5 record, they missed the playoffs. So it's happened. And then you're going to have an even a crazier situation that the Ravens were to not get help. They went out, they missed the playoffs 11-5, but then you see a sub-500 team in the NFC East get in and host a playoff game because they won their division. It's just been an insane year. So it would be heartbreaking. It would be frustrating and disappointing. But given how the Ravens can close this season out, you know, to not make the playoffs would be the very ironic and bittersweet end that we would not hope for, because, you know, you play your hearts out like that, you recover, you had a rocky start to the year. We had the COVID outbreak. Now the Ravens are finding their stride and bowling out respectively. So, again, a lot to be sorted out. Ravens take care of their business. We'll see what happens.
All right, Josh. Well, for this episode of The Call, have we covered everything?
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we're always sharing any kinds of Ravens news that we find interesting and we think you'll find interesting as well. So make sure you follow us on Facebook. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social, on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. Now, if you're also a Washington Capitals fan and a fan of the NHL, they announced that the NHL will be returning to play on January 13th. I also do a Washington Capitals podcast called What the Puck. If you are a Caps fan or you're thinking about getting into hockey, we had a new show come out this week as well, kind of previewing the season and what that's going to be like. So if you're a Caps fan or thinking about becoming a Caps fan, check out my podcast there.
Not to give them a little preview, but I will. I'm sure you I haven't listened to it yet, but I will this week. But I'm excited for the What the Puck to be back. I'm sure you guys touched on it, but I will have to say it is so heartbreaking to see Henrik Lundqvist not to be playing this year.
It's such really heartbreaking. Is. Yeah. For him to have a really great career with the New York Rangers and for him to come to the Capitals for a one-year deal, a guy who is one of the best goalies in our generation, and for him never to hoist a cup, I really thought this was going to be his year to help us. I mean, he had a better record than Braden Holtby did last year. So this was crazy. A step up, and he was only going to be $1 million. But because of a heart condition, he had to step away from the game. So hopefully this isn't the end of Henrik Lundqvist's career and he can come back next year, but only time will tell. So that's it for this episode of The Call. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so very much. And for all the Call faithful, we really appreciate you sticking us out through every year, especially 2020. We're keeping you up to date with everything and everything Baltimore Ravens every season we do here. And it's been a crazy year, and we're happy that our Ravens are finally finding their stride, right? They're winning football, 3-0 the last three games. As we know, the Steelers are falling quickly. They're 0-3 in the last three games. We all had a great chance to point and laugh at the blunder that the Steelers are. Instead of the Bungles bungling, they actually bungled and actually proved. And a lot of fans are a little concerned, like, well, we got to play that opponent in Week 17. You think they're going to be the same? Of course they're going to be the same. They want to do the same thing to the Steelers, to us, that they did the Steelers. They want to come in, punch us in the mouth, and ruin our season. So they haven't played for the Ravens have done it before, playing spoilers. We know the Baltimore Orioles have done it in their history. You know, they beat the Boston Red Sox in the last game of the year 1 year to not let the Boston Red Sox get in the playoffs. I mean, nothing is more fun than when you're losing in a division and play them at the end of the year. You're like, well, let's just ruin their season too. So the Ravens have their hands full still. Doesn't mean, you know, obviously we know they got through Jacksonville. Doesn't mean that they have some cakewalks here. It just means they got to take care of business in their winnable football games. And that's what the Ravens have here against the Giants. How about it, Ravens Nation? Have a great Christmas week. Everybody enjoy the holidays with your friends and family. Be safe. Celebrate accordingly. But all is important on Sunday. Let's root hard and let the Baltimore Ravens fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.